Hey, podcasters. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
Hey, on today's catch-up, when have your neighbours freaked you out?
Lisa and John from MKR, and Kimber's got an in-depth Grammy review.
And will all the cockroaches outlive us all?
You bet.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA.
Now, guys, we live in a community, and that means that we live amongst our neighbours.
Yes.
True.
And sometimes, you know, you get along with your neighbours, sometimes you don't. And sometimes it's just that your neighbours do things that you think are a bit strange.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you kind of question why they've done something. And this morning, our producer, Shelby, came in with a story that we thought was really bizarre.
Just a different kind of story. Morning, Shelby.
Good morning.
Shelby, tell us what your neighbour did this morning.
So I was walking to my car at 4:30 and I noticed my car was all wet. Yeah. And as I was driving out, my neighbour stopped me and said, "Oh, I just finished cleaning your car."
Your neighbour was awake at 4:30 washing cars?
And just my car.
Okay.
And we know there's nothing untoward going on. We don't think this is some sort of advance.
No, he's not creepy or anything. It was just like a nice gesture, but a bit odd at 4:30 in the morning.
On a weekday.
Yeah. Yes. Well, everything feels a bit odd at 4:30 in the morning, doesn't it? Because, I mean, even driving to work, seeing people walking the streets who are maybe exercising.
Does seem odd, doesn't it?
It seems odd.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is odd.
But also, like, even though it seems like a nice thing to do, part of that freaks me out. Like, because then I go, what? That seems unusual.
Yes.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Yes. Shelby, just a tiny little bit of more detail. Is he renowned for being a non-sleeper? Is this guy?
Not that I know. I don't know him super well. I've only said hello again. Occasionally.
Haven't heard him at 4 a.m. putting the bins out or anything?
No, I don't think so.
And how would you rate the detailing?
Yeah, how's it going? Good job.
It was actually really clean. Like, I don't think it was just like a hosing down. Like, I think he gave it a good scrub.
Did he stand at your window and wait for some money? Or?
Oh, no.
I think that's amazing. I mean, I freaked out my neighbours before. I don't know if it's on that same scale, but I did run to my neighbour's house and banging on the door and his fly screen door when I was living in Eden Hill,
right,
bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
And he opened the door, saw me there crying and struggling to breathe, grabbed me by the wrist, pulled me into his house and shut the door behind me.
Because, oh, is that when we signed Matt on the show?
Yeah. He thought I was being attacked.
Right.
He thought I was being
really?
Attacked in the street, and he saw me and pulled me into safety.
Yeah.
And then I explained to him that there was a huntsman in my kitchen and I needed him to come. He was freaked out.
Wow.
He's like, "I thought you were being attacked." Like,
you
this poor
out.
Guy, his face was panic, like pulling me into the house. And I was like, "I didn't mean to freak you out. I'm just hysterical over spiders."
Just imagine what your face was like for him to react like
that.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I was doing a play. It was a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And I was rehearsing my lines for weeks in the house, hanging out the washing. And I talked to a neighbour later who went, we got to know each other, and he said to me, "Dude, I really wondered who I'd move next to." Because I could hear you saying all these things about bodies.
He thinks you're Dexter.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Doing the Jeffrey Dahmer play.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. It's easy to do. If you're just catching snippets of a person's life,
yeah,
it can really freak you out.
And you don't know them. That's the thing. Give us a call, 133353. When have your neighbours freaked you out, or maybe you freaked them out?
Yeah. And you'll win yourself the chance for the Big Breakfast to wash your car at 4:30 in the morning. No, it's Kylie Minogue tickets for the Golden Tour.
The Big Breakfast with Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Our producer Shelby woke up this morning at 4:30 in the morning, went to go to work and had a wet car because the neighbour just casually said, "Oh, I just gave your car a clean for you."
At 4 a.m.
Can freak you out, can't it? Like that guy who was the guy who used to spend a bit of time in his balcony opposite us when we lived in the old house. Yeah, remember that guy?
He was a sweet guy.
Yeah, he spent a bit of time with
a lot of self-love.
Enjoying himself.
Laptop and not good. What do you do?
Neighbours.
John is in Mandurah. John, how has your neighbour freaked you out?
Many years ago in Melbourne, I was living there, and I woke up to the sound of my neighbour mowing his lawn at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Really?
What? What's that guy doing? Did you go out and say anything?
Yeah, I went out there and I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm mowing my lawn. I need to get it done before the sun hits it, before it burns it."
Oh, no.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
Sean, did he offer to do yours?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Mm. Oh, okay. Oh, not so bad. Have a 3 a.m. beer with him.
It is strange behaviour. Thanks, John.
Especially in the middle of the night.
Oh, yes. Let's go to Thornley. Neil, how did your neighbour freak you out?
It wasn't so much him freaking me out as me freaking him out.
Oh, good.
What did you do?
I moved into a share house a few years ago, and I used to work sort of in late into the night, and I had a cat at the time.
Mm.
And I came home, you know, a few nights in a row trying to get the cat in, you know, responsible owner, try and get him indoors. And I'm calling the cat whose name is Nigel. So, you know, Nigel, come in. And it's a frustration building trying to get this bloody cat in. You know, I'm beginning to swear and abuse the cat and threaten to do things to him when I get hold of him. You know, I'm going to stick this and do that and et cetera. Anyway.
Oh, no.
A couple of days later, my housemate says, oh, I've got a phone call from the landlord. And I said, oh, okay. And he says, you know, he's a little bit upset. I said, oh, I see. And she said, you know, he just lives 5 metres behind us and, you know, in the other house at the back of the block. And I've gone, no, I wasn't aware of that. And she then said, oh, no, are you also aware that his name is Nigel?
That's great.
Great. So that guy, Nigel, was just hiding under the doona, wondering who's trying to attack him from outside.
Waiting to have small mice inserted in it, something like that.
That's great.
Wondering why the new, you know, tenant is threatening to not give him his biscuits.
Ali's in Double View. Ali, when have you freaked your neighbours out?
They actually freaked me out. So I was out just doing sweeping in the courtyard, and our courtyards face each other.
Mm.
And our neighbours are actually of a different culture, and they very rarely talk to us and say boo. And I looked over one day, and the neighbour was standing, top half had T-shirt on, bottom half completely naked, just standing there watering his garden.
Oh, right, okay. Yep.
And I freaked out. I went inside and got my partner and went, oh, my God, our neighbour is watering his garden half naked. And he said, what? And he ran out and he disappeared. And then the next day or 2 days later, I was out there again, and this time we were lacquering and doing stuff in the courtyard. And again, he was there. And I just went, oh, my God, and he waved at me.
Yes.
And after he waved, his wife came and grabbed him and dragged him inside. So I think they kind of clued in that maybe that was not appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, someone was putting on a show for you, Ali.
That was so embarrassing, though, because we very rarely said hi to each other, let alone, you know, wave.
No,
so
you're really...
Yeah, that's the only contact you want. You don't need to shake hands with him. It's fine.
No. But, Ali, as long as he was doing that on his specified watering days, I don't have a problem
that's
with it.
That's all.
Well, that I don't even know, to be honest. I think it kind of traumatised me that much, so I'm completely oblivious to time of day.
He's obviously trimming his hedge. Thanks, Ali.
Cheers.
Ali from Double View, right there.
This wasn't a neighbour, but a flatmate. I moved into a share house and came out, and this was the guy that washed and dried glad wrap.
I've told
you that story.
Save the money, yeah.
Yeah, so you walk into a kitchen and it's covered in glad wrap that's drying. I mean, great for the environment, but
and also
freaked
that
me
means
out.
The two of you together were Dexter. Legitimately
yes.
Dexter.
Yes.
Actually, were you in that movie, Bad Boy Bubby? It worries me.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
It is a big breakfast. It's even bigger now at 7:23 because a couple of stars from My Kitchen Rules. We've had a couple of West Aussies get booted from the show last night, and the second team are about to cook, and they're led by the very chatty Lisa and John. Welcome from the Southwest. Good to see you both.
Thanks, Clazy. Thanks, mate. Firstly, I've got this big pile of Elton John songs in front of me.
You have, actually. You've seen the list.
Yeah, just wondering if I can get a ticket off you, if that's all right.
Well, you've got to win it.
You've got to play the comp like everyone else.
Right. That's all right. I have to listen.
You've got to play the quiz. It's coming up. I'm still standing.
Right.
And
you
may have heard, Lisa, you were talking about that time when Elton married Renata, the German sound engineer in Sydney.
Yeah, that was a pretty... sort of, huh, Elton, we all know that you're not in love with Renata. What are you doing?
Well, maybe it was...
maybe they were in maybe love. Maybe it was Miss Wright for that point in time, 1984.
We can all change.
I think it was after that he actually came out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was just his last sort of like, oh, Mum, look, you know, I'm playing the part. But after that he goes, no, Mum, actually, I can't play the part.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I think Molly convinced him, said, mate, do yourself a favour.
Yeah, I think it was Molly. Yeah, it was back in the day.
All right, now let's talk My Kitchen Rules. Your episode airs tonight where the two of you are cooking. Now, what was it like? Was it easier to cook for strangers than it might be for the others who are cooking for the guests? Because once you know them, it's a different game, right?
Oh, I'm not sure you really think about that, honestly. You don't, that doesn't really cross your mind. Morely freaking out about cooking for Pete and Manu and then a bunch of people in a regular kitchen, I think was standing out. But man, it was pretty intense. So you know, hopefully we come off all right tonight.
I agree with John. It was actually Pete and Manu that I was actually freaking out about cooking for, and even just being in our house. I mean, Pete and Manu in our house.
Did you feel judged on every level, like the toilet cleaning, the bathroom, everything?
I spent 4 months having that house spick and span.
What's going on in the bathroom?
It was your house, your kitchen, not Luke Longley's mansion or something?
No, it's right. actually my house and my husband and my house.
Waiting for an invite to Luke Longley's mansion.
And yelling up there, that's right. Yeah, nice.
In the Margaret River wine region, but it's actually yelling up.
The lovely thing.
There's no cat food bowls out the front with cat food everywhere.
No, yeah, we don't have a cat.
Matt and I know how much this means to you because we were at the launch, the Channel 7 launch of this, and we saw you walk off the stage when all the interviewing was done and you threw your arms in and you said, we're really glad to represent WA.
Yes. Yeah.
Does this feel like you were joining a WA sporting team on the national stage?
Well, I have always been so proud to be a West Australian, and I think it's the best place in the whole world. We've got, you know, we've travelled a little bit of the world and definitely the southwest of Western Australia is the best place in the world. I'm not biased. It's true.
And also, I don't know if you got, like, I've watched the show a fair bit, and not last season so much, but there's been so many villains from WA and, like, weird characters. And Mum and I are pretty proud sandgropers and just really wanted to represent our region, but also the great state.
You need to come out of your shell. You need to come out of your shell for TV, though, John. You're very shy. Come on.
I was last night. Mum and I, it's funny around that table. So around our family and our friends, Mum and I tend to be more the loudest.
Yeah.
But on that table, honestly, we were sitting there and just couldn't get a word in. Just sit back and have a glass of red and just watch how this goes.
It nearly didn't happen. I mean, John, you broke your arm just before filming. I mean, won't that prevent you cutting, cooking, carrying pots, stirring?
Yeah, I broke my scaphoid playing footy and had surgery on it with a screw put in 3 weeks out. And yeah, couldn't move my wrist at all. Couldn't bear any weight. So couldn't lift anything. Couldn't cut. So luckily we picked a menu. I don't know.
Just like
footy.
Bashed garlic with your cast.
Oh, yeah, no. Nah.
We're having mash again.
I actually just had a red in the corner and let Mum go, and I was supervising. Yeah,
So just pretended you were okay.
Yeah. Cool. No, I actually, mate, what are you going to do? You're cooking on TV.
Yeah.
You're chasing your dreams, so you just got to put up with it. And
just fake it till you make it.
That's it. So
it says you could move your wrist a bit, but that's important, isn't it?
I couldn't move my wrist at all. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. No, I've got very good left-handed, actually, yeah.
Be careful with that. Hey, we just want to wish you...
Cutting left-handed.
Exactly. We wish both of you all the very best on the show. And, a lot of stuff that's gone down, but we don't.
Oh, thank you. Well, we had a blast. It's been absolutely fantastic. The best thing was spending that time with John, with my son. He's a great guy.
Good on you.
If you two turn out to be the villains, we're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I might not. I mean, sure, I can probably say a few narky things to John, but I don't think so with anybody else. You know, we actually ended up just loving everybody.
Right. I reckon you're a sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah,
Lisa and John there. Of course, My Kitchen Rules tonight on 7, at 7. Check it out. And, of course, $50,000 with MKR Crown and Mix 94.5 to go a little bit later on. All the best to you too.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
You tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
So overnight, we all became Grammys experts, really, overnight. And I realised about the Grammys is no one actually cares who wins the Grammys.
No.
It's more about who was there, who was seen and what was going on.
Okay.
Right? Now, the Grammys have wrapped and there was a bit of controversy last year because they excluded a lot of the women who had won from the telecast. So while they were getting their speech up there and going, thanks so much for the win, it just didn't go to television.
Oh, really?
Yeah, lots of the women were blocked out from that. And so everyone kind of went, hey, that's a big issue. And so this year they went, well, what we'll do is we'll turn it around and we'll just dominate it with women.
Okay,
Because they don't understand how to get balance right. Mm.
It's probably the best choice of a female host you could make.
Yeah, Alicia Keys.
So cool.
Yeah. She's very relaxed, isn't she? She was very cool genuine, about the whole thing. Yep. And last year also they snubbed, you love that word, their hip-hop artists in the main categories. And so this year they just presented hip-hop artist Childish Gambino with Record and Song of the Year.
Yeah, got a couple of big ones.
Yeah, This Is America obviously was a really big hit for him. And although he wasn't there to collect the awards.
Oh, that's a bit childish.
Hey!
3 hours and 40 minutes the Grammys went for.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Self-indulgent.
18 performances.
Oh, God.
A powerful opening speech from Michelle Obama.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Music helps us share ourselves, our dignity and sorrows, our hopes and joys. It allows us to hear one another, to invite each other in. Music shows us that all of it matters. Every story within every voice, every note within every song. Is that right, ladies?
Yes. Yes.
She was in a line of ladies there, which yes. included J-Lo with a giant hat. No one could work out who it was.
And you can hear them in the background going, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yes. She's basically Oprah.
She yeah. did get a standing ovation at the start, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite good.
And there was a Motown medley by J-Lo that came with mixed reviews.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, it was quite the performance. I mean, she put everything into it. She was throwing herself around the stage, plenty of dancing, plenty
choreography
of singing.
Was incredible. She was Beyonce-esque, but without quite the vocal quality. I mean, it sounded
sure.
okay.
Yeah,
it's a little bit thin.
Yeah,
but
she's just mixed reviews because people are saying she's just not Motown enough.
Because,
you know, I think that they wanted a...
Not a Latino.
Not a Latino doing the performance. But she's saying, well, I was inspired by this music and that's where I'm at.
Mm.
She had Smokey Robinson up there for part of it and he's 78, so he's the veteran.
Mm. Mm.
Everyone's so critical these days.
Aren't they?
You can't just enjoy a performer giving it their all, you know?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
funny you say that because I don't agree with you. Because I watched and I went, these are meant to be the best of the best. And Janelle Monáe singing and J-Lo on that weren't really what I expect. And Gaga came out and blew them away.
You're dead to me.
And you're dead to me.
Well, can I bring you both back in with Dolly Parton? Because Dolly Parton performed
Dolly
a few tracks.
Oh, Dolly brings everyone together.
Oh,
well, she
so
hasn't
sweet.
Slowed down at all.
Oh, Dolly.
Catchy song.
Yeah.
And many of the stars didn't even show up either, and the big stars too. Beyonce and Jay-Z weren't there, Ariana Grande, Bradley Cooper, Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Pink, Kendrick Lamar. Like, they're big names to not show.
Sure.
Bradley Cooper was at the BAFTAs.
He was at the BAFTAs. Yeah.
Had other engagements,
the others
but everyone else.
Probably recording or touring, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. And off the Grammys now, I'm done with that. I've got a hot tip for those who are the big fans of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. Great.
Season 3 will be coming in early June. That's all I can tell you.
Really? Oh,
season 3, they're going to release 3 episodes up front
and
then weekly episodes after that. So there's more time to forget about how harrowing season 2 was.
Oh,
God.
I've got to get on.
I still have not recovered.
You have to see this.
If you want Handmaid's Tale, it's on SBS on demand. Check it out.
Unreal.
And that's your daily juice.
Well, and see, done. Matt and I are dead to each other. It's going to be really quiet 35 minutes for you, KC. Well done.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, this is very, very sad news.
Oh, no.
The decline in the number of insects on our planet is very, very drastic and far worse than first thought.
Okay.
This could be catastrophic.
This is a thing where I get confused because I kind of don't like insects.
Yeah,
so the idea of them declining, I'm like, woohoo!
Hey, party!
But when you dig a bit deeper into the soil and get the insects, right, you realize that they're saying that bees, ants and beetles are disappearing 8 times faster than mammals. So someone go and protect Ringo and Paul right now.
Mm.
But houseflies and cockroaches are likely to boom.
Oh, here we go.
So the bees, ants, and beetles are disappearing 8 times faster than mammals, birds, or reptiles, and a lot quicker than those other creepy crawlies you don't like.
Oh, I'd love to get in a time machine and go 1,000 years into the future when cockroaches rule the world.
Oh.
Everywhere.
And we're like these pets.
They're walking around with us on leashes.
Yeah.
Oh, it breaks my heart, though, to think that we will be telling our grandchildren, we used to eat this amazing thing called honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. Doesn't that just seem so sad?
Or there's a guy with a jacket goes, want to buy some honey?
Yeah, exactly.
$1,000 at least.
Yeah.
But of course, human beings aren't responsible for that.
No,
God, no. All of the poisons we've pumped into the air and the water and the ground have had no ill effect.
Because they're saying the main reasons are, you know, obviously global warming. Are you allowed to call it that?
Shut up, lefty.
Yeah, good on you. Global warming. That was global warming, the way we do agriculture now is just different.
Yeah.
It's so, as you say, Matt, so many pesticides.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how much I want to take responsibility over the whole insect issue, but right. I will say I know that I have pumped many insecticides into the planet because I spray my house for spiders.
Yes.
Right? Okay, yeah. And I know that probably that's killing bees and I feel really bad for that. And that's why I haven't sprayed my house this year.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to keep the ecosystem going. But that means I'm confronted by horrible spiders everywhere I go. And also, you know, I can't, what about like the farming agriculture and that kind of level?
That is a great example. You know, we do lull ourselves into this idea that a pesticide, it's fly spray.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It will kill anything that's there. So if you're bumping that on a major scale, on a huge, you know, wheat crop or whatever, I don't know what crop, you know, what's the worst crop for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to get most things,
Pretty much any crop. Yeah, you're right.
And then we ingest it.
That and the fumes. But let's be honest, when you see, you know, whatever it might be, a cockroach or it might be a redback at home with the, you know, the really busy web going on, you don't just spray the amount that you require, do you?
No.
You go to town on that thing. Like three quarters of a can.
Bloody hell.
Oh, no. You only get one quick shot and you got to run.
See,
I like using
the thong, but, you know.
Yeah, the thong's a good one. That's a good one. And the thong's handy to get rid of the cockroaches and stuff. But that's concerning that they're going to rule the world. I always thought octopus were going to be the things to take over.
Oh, really?
Octopus and squid, they're our dark overlords.
And you know what's also very alarming is that this is not new.
No, of course it's not. It's come to a point because of what we've done.
Yeah, the Northern Hemisphere, they've been talking about the decline in bees. And that's a really pivotal one. I mean, they pollinate our crops.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time now. And a lot of Northern Europe, they're just not seeing bees
and
anymore.
The thing, you know, something like a beetle, we might go, oh, it's just a beetle or whatever, but the beetles, including, you know, particularly those species of dung beetles, the work that they do to break stuff down on our planet, it causes so many other problems if they're not there.
It's actually a huge number. They're saying insects provide food for birds, bats and small mammals. They pollinate around 75% of the crops in the world and they replenish soils and keep pest numbers in check. 75% of the crops they're pollinating. That's huge.
Anyway, but don't worry about that because Labor are trying to change negative gearing laws.
Of course they are.
Stop worrying about stuff like that.
Hey, look,
look short term, please.
There's an election coming up.
Yeah.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey. Yeah! Day brings more news with
the occasional bizarre twist. Woo-hoo. Wake me up. She's a really good news reader, but here's what she
cares. Hey guys, a scientific breakthrough.
Oh, good.
Turns out boiling water can burn you.
Oh,
boiling water, yeah.
Boiling water can burn you.
Is this a, you know, scientific breakthrough or community service announcement?
It's a bit of both.
Oh.
It's kicking goals on all fronts. See, you know, we heard about this Arctic vortex in North America recently. Where temperatures like minus 50 or something in the Midwest.
Well, you step outside, you weren't allowed to take deep breaths because you may die.
Yeah, you freeze your lungs, right? Wow. It's that cold. So one of the things that that you can do, apparently, is if you throw boiling water into the air, it will instantaneously freeze.
Oh, wow.
You're
as cold
as ice. You're willing to
sacrifice our love. You better get you going.
Oh, beautiful. Nice surprise. So, yes, this is a, and I remember my grandfather, actually, on my mum's side from Blackpool, saying that when they used to go fishing off the jetty, they'd pull the fish in and it was so cold by the time the fish got up, it was part frozen.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that's a story.
Well, so that, taking ice down to the jetty.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Fish on ice.
Keep them fresh. So if you throw it into the water, into the air in those sorts of conditions, it instantly freezes and creates beautiful images.
Mm.
But not always.
Oh, really?
Okay.
It depends on the conditions. The condition.
Right.
So in the Midwest, in Chicago as well, they are having people arriving at emergency rooms with horrific burns from doing this hot water challenge.
Oh, no. Yeah. Anything with the word challenge on the end is like a planking challenge.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And always like, oh.
And their doctors are, you know, imploring people to stop doing it.
Yeah, people can be like sheep, can't they?
Yes. And so, of course, there's a lot of kids that are getting hurt because their parents are, they're mimicking their parents. And also some idiots who are throwing it up in the air and then the wind blows throws it back in their face.
Oh, before it freezes.
Yeah, so and they're saying obviously it's very dangerous. Any water on skin in that temperature is dangerous.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
And to complicate matters, hot water injuries can go unnoticed because it's so cold for the skin to register any pain.
Okay.
Oh, this is like the cops who always say to the people who shoot celebratory guns into the air.
Yes.
That, oh, P.S., they can come down and kill you. You know, it's like people don't think what goes up must come down. That's how it rolls.
Isn't it funny, if you always live in Perth, you know, we're all Perthy, so you're used to that heat most of the time. And even in winter, it's not really that cold. But I lived in Canberra for 1 year, and I learnt very, you know, from other people that you don't put water or warm water in particular on your windscreen to try and get your eyes off. Because so many people would do it. Newcomers would come from other cities and do it. And you see them because they're all got the crack windscreens.
Yes,
just do it straight away. You don't even think about that stuff. But throwing boiling water in the air and having it freeze is bizarre.
Well, it doesn't feel like it can get colder than zero.
Yeah,
it feels like zero should be it.
What's that wind chill factor?
Oh, my God. Anyway, stop. If you're in Chicago, stop it.
It is the windy city.
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Who was voted mayor of the city of Subiaco October 17, Penny Taylor. Good to see you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, Penny, we love Subi, but we've seen a lot of changes over in Subi itself, not just the Greater Council, but in this town. There's been some shops shutting down and things are changing. Mm. And lots of the young people are sort of going, there's nowhere to go, or they're not as invested in the suburb as they maybe once were. And you're finding that this is a bit of a problem at council meetings too.
We do get lots of different feedback on council around some of the changes that are happening. People are worried about shops closing. People are worried about the liveliness of our streets. But we do have some really big things happening. So we've got Subiaco Oval. I mean, that's a huge redevelopment, that whole area through to PMH.
And how are we going to get our young people engaged in that sort of thing? Because I'm assuming that councils are full of older Australians.
So to plan for the future, the more we can hear from young people, and I know it's tough because it's a dry, boring subject, etc. But if you break it down to what do you want to see on your street corner? What do you want when you go out at night? If people can write to their council or participate in community consultation, they're the kind of things that people really want to hear about.
Fair to say, Penny, it's probably one of the most important times in the history of Subi because things are changing. Subiaco Oval, so there's no football and those crowds and the like, and also with the hospital moving and that going on. But the hospital site fascinates me because it's such a big bit of land and the changes that will happen there, but it's in such an amazing location so close to the city as well, isn't it?
It is a really interesting location and it is a really exciting time, and that's why I'm really pleased that the city of Subiaco can establish good relationships with the state government, with the different state agencies, and of course with our whole community to make sure whatever is developed there really fits in our existing community.
So the young people, they can come along to the meeting tonight. Where do they go?
But they can come along. It's at the City Administration Building. Some of these things get quite popular. At a meeting last week, we had over 100 people wanting to attend because these are quite interesting community issues, and some of these things can get a little bit interesting.
Get heated as well, I'm sure,
yeah,
in there.
That's it.
Well, yeah, if I could get 100 people to one of my gigs, I'd be wrapped.
Have you tried a sausage sizzle?
Yeah.
That's all you need, yeah. Hey, Penny, wonderful to talk to you. For people who Google Penny Taylor, it's not the basketball star.
Oh,
it's
no.
The star of the Subi Council.
She
was pretty good. Thanks, Ben.
No worries.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Think quick, win cash. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
It may be early on a Tuesday morning, but never too early to win $250 in Bayswater. Hey, Cheryl.
Good morning, how are you?
Good. Not too early for you, Cheryl. You're all set and your brain's in gear, right?
That's correct, hopefully.
Oh, that makes one of us.
All right, we're going to give you a category and a time limit. You just need to provide the correct answers, and for each one of those, you'll get $10. But if you get all of them, you'll win $250. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Cheryl, here we go. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock for you, and your time's going to start once I've given you the category. Cheryl, we need you to list 10 cities or towns in WA. Go.
Perth, Mandurah, Joondalup, Belmont. Canberra. Oh, I've got a brain freeze.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Well, you can freeze in the winter in Canberra.
Yeah.
Well, right. Perth, yes. And Mandurah, yes.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. City of Joondalup.
I mean, okay, that's a...
That was pretty clever.
Well, yeah. our producer Tom is giving you the thumbs up because he's a very nice guy. And since he got his feet done, he's been really charming.
He has. He's been smooth as.
Very nice.
And City of Belmont, well, then that one too.
We have to give that too.
So we've got to go $40.
Because we used to call them councils, but yeah, City of Belmont, yeah.
Yeah, good job, Cheryl. Right, $40.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, enjoy
we
that.
Can't give you Canberra, but it was worth a crack.
I just had a...
that's okay.
I reckon you just say the answers. I think too many people hold back and then just that stops you from getting anything out.
Hey, well done, Cheryl. Thanks for having a crack nice and early in the morning.
No problems. Thank you very much for that.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
So Perth Children's Hospital has been up and running for about a year or so, right?
Yes.
And it turns out that parents have failed to take their children to more than 20,000 outpatient appointments last year, which wasted more than $7 million in staffing and resources.
Alarming.
It is alarming. They're saying that almost 1 in 10 appointments that were booked were not kept. No. And this isn't including the parents who call up and say, look, my child is sick, or we've had to cancel because we can't make the appointment, we can't get there.
Yeah.
This is just people who were a no-show.
Okay.
Right, which is a lot of people. They're saying on average, just to see a child is costing about $345 per child.
Okay,
sure.
And people aren't showing up. And so this is obviously turning into a big deal of, you know, a waste of money along the way. And of course, you know, another judgmental article from Perth Now and their journalism where they labelled them slack parents.
Oh, the first word.
Slack parents haven't taken their kids to appointments. Now, they're actually saying that a lot of parents I saw commenting online were saying this is rubbish. We weren't given a reminder notice. We weren't told that the appointment was happening. So parents are saying we're not slack. The system's breaking down.
Yes. And, you know, some people are waiting 8 months for their outpatient appointments.
Yeah. It's a long time, isn't it?
That's a lot of life for things to change.
Especially if you don't use a diary.
Yes.
And their children. This is a big deal. For someone like, they're saying a lot of them actually, most of the figures came from ENT, so ear, nose and throat specialists.
Was it like over 16%, which is a pretty high number.
So we're talking about kids who can't hear, can't breathe properly, you know, they need to be in these appointments and for some reason people aren't showing up.
Well, presumably they're not showing up because the kid has got better.
Yeah, but they're not cancelling the appointment.
As I asked you off air, would be great, because I mean, I know this through mum's appointments as well. You know, you get the thing in the mail, but there's no requirement to kind of RSVP, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
Like to call up and say, I'm still on board for that appointment. I'll be there.
Well, are we relying on old school common sense? I mean, if I had an appointment I didn't need anymore, I would call up.
Sure.
I don't need to be told to call
that
up.
It's just the right thing to do.
There
are some things where you send a Y or an N, you know, to say yes or no to whatever is going on. So that can happen with some systems, but every system is different.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's two sides to the story, though.
Absolutely. The hospital are saying that they mail a letter 4 weeks before the scheduled appointment, and then they also get a follow-up reminder text message 48 hours before the appointment. So we could be dealing with people who have changed address and didn't get the initial one, or maybe they haven't given a correct phone number.
Yes.
But something's breaking down. Some of the parents were commenting saying, well, actually, we didn't get our letter for an appointment until after the appointment had passed.
Yes.
So there could be a bit of a problem in the system there. But if it's not, I mean, we just need to be better at this. These are talking sick kids and they need the appointments.
Yes.
Oh, I know what happened.
Yeah.
62% didn't show up because they went to PMH. It was a bloody long wait.
I didn't know.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
To catch Elton John on his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, play this.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Our last chance to ever see Sir Elton John live in Perth is coming up. We're giving away tickets to the very front rows of his farewell tour right now.
This morning we have got tickets to go in row 9, and Louise in Claremont, welcome.
Thank you.
Now it could be you, Louise, but this is how it works. We're going to ask 5 questions relating to Elton John and you've got to answer correctly to keep playing, because if you are wrong, we move on to the next caller, okay?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so the last man's...
yesterday.
Okay, so it's whoever answers question number 5 wins the ticket.
That's the key. Okay.
All right,
Louise, let's kick it off.
Go.
Question number 1, which Elton John song features the lyrics, I remember when rock was young, me and Susie had so much fun?
Oh my God.
I've just gone blank.
Louise. Gonna have to move on.
Don't know.
Sorry, okay. Gotta be quick.
Kelly's in Baldavis. Kelly, what Elton John song features the lyrics "I remember when rock was young, me and Susie had so much fun"?
Crocodile Rock.
Correct.
Beautiful work. Okay, you ready for the next question, Kel?
Yep.
Question two. Who opened Perth Arena in November 2012?
Sorry, what was that?
Who opened the Perth Arena? First act at the Perth Arena, November 2012.
Appeared in... the school bell just went. I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, who played at the Perth Arena when the venue opened November 2012?
2012.
Yep.
Sorry, Kelly.
I don't know.
You
got to be
no.
quick. Okay, Lynette's in Morley. Lynette, who opened Perth Arena in November 2012?
Elton John.
Correct.
Yay. Good one.
Okay, who was the song "Candle in the Wind" written about?
What's her name?
Candle Lynette.
Oh, gosh, I can't.
Quick.
I know who it is.
You got to move on. We're
sorry, Lynette.
Let's go to East Fremantle. G'day, Bruce. Now,
hi, guys. How you going?
Question three. Who was the song "Candle in the Wind" written about?
That was Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Bruce, question four. What special honour was Elton John awarded in 1998?
I think that was an OBE.
Ba-bow. Sorry, Bruce. Got to move on.
Okay, Trevor, what special honour was Elton John awarded in 1998?
Would it be a knighthood?
Excellent.
Congratulations, mate. This is question five. What song did Elton team up with George Michael on, Trev?
Oh, sorry, Trev. We've got to move on, mate. Peter's in Rockingham. Peter, what song did Elton team up with George Michael on?
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
That is correct.
Hey, Peter in Rockingham.
You got question number five, Peter, so there you go.
Sweet, awesome.
Yeah, well done.
Awesome.
You were the last man standing. You've scored tickets in row 9 to see Elton John, Pete.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Enjoy the gig, Peter. Have you seen Elton before?
No, never, but I'm a bit of a fan, so that'd be great.
Awesome. Have a great time at the gig.
Thank you.
RAC knows maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.